Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Early calls for cash hog prices today are mostly steady in a very limited test, but the background tone is weaker going into the weekend and early next week. Terminals are called mostly steady with top prices from $31.50 to $35.50 today. Peoria called steady with the top price of $31.50. Lots going on with the weather over the weekend. Let's jump right in and get the latest from AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. I'll give a little overview on South America today, and then we're going to get right to the U.S. No change in the weather forecast really exists for South America. It looks like Argentina is going to continue mostly dry, nothing more than a few isolated showers and thunderstorms from time to time, but more areas than not will stay dry. So Argentina has got a dry bias that could continue for a while with La Nina in the Pacific Ocean. Far southern Brazil shares in that. There may just be a few spotty showers and thunderstorms in Rio Grande do Sul, but there too, there are some issues with dryness. Showers and thunderstorms are going to be a little better possibility as you go farther north in the Brazilian bean belt, but it looks like even there, amounts are not going to be as great in the next week as they've been of late, but no problems there. And then as you go farther north, it looks like rainfall will be generally decent over portions of Goiás and maybe southern Minas Gerais, but a little dry bias as you get a little farther to the northeast in Bahia. So basically far northeastern Brazil, there's some concerns because it was dry for a while. They did have rain for 2 weeks, but now it's turned a bit dry there in far northeastern production areas of Brazil. Far southern Brazilian areas are a bit on the dry side, and Argentina is quite dry, so concerns in South America. But what I want to focus on the rest of the way today is an ice storm potential over a good portion of the Midwest Corn Belt, and we are worried about the case where there could be some significant icing leading to travel difficulties and in some cases impossible travel for a while, and also there could be some power outages. And those of you that live in rural areas know that sometimes they can last a while once they happen. And this is going to be a widespread event. There could be icing all the way from southern portions of the Texas Panhandle through the middle of Oklahoma into southeastern and east central Kansas across western and northern Missouri, the biggest stretch probably just north of Springfield through Columbia on over to the Quincy, Illinois area, and then north of St. Louis to north of Mattoon, Charleston, on up toward I-80 in Illinois. There could be significant icing, most of which will come from Saturday night through Monday, but there's another weather system following that up that we don't have details on yet for later next week, and then all of this will continue eastward across northern Indiana, Ohio, into Pennsylvania, and New York. So just use caution, maybe stock up, and be ready for the potential of an ice storm, especially if you're in the northern two-thirds of Illinois and northern half of Indiana. That's the look at the weather for this morning. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 9:20 and a quarter, up a quarter. Last trade up 4 3/4. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 8.72 3/4, up 1 3/4. Last trade up 6 1/4. July, 7.78 1/2, up a half. Last trade up 7 1/4. December corn opened at 3.94 1/2, up 3/4. Last trade up 1 3/4. July, 4.30 3/4, unchanged. Last trade up 1 1/2. January beans opened at $11, up 1.25. Last trade up 8.25. July, $11.27.5, down 1. Last trade up 8.75. December soybean meal opened at $3.60, up $1. Last trade up 90. December soybean oil opened at $45.50, up 25. Last trade up 15. Joining us now, live in the studio, is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Wisconsin. How was the drive down, Jackie?
Well, it was pretty hairy, and I'm certainly not thrilled at hearing the weather forecast that Ed has out, but you got to do what you got to do in the winter.
Yes, indeed, and you have to do what you have to do when you're trading grains, and so let's look at that today. And let me begin with a general question asking you, if we're going to see $11 soybeans and $5 corn futures at some point in the harvest months before we put seeds in the ground next spring?
Well, I certainly anticipate that. The $11 futures on beans it would indicate, I'm still a firm believer we have to be at about a 2-to-1 level between corn and beans. So that could even push futures as high as $5.50. A lot of guys are doing heavy penciling, and I guess I look at even the transportation change cost. If it's 15 cents to haul 200 bushel corn, you're talking $30 an acre. 60 bushel beans, you're talking $9 an acre. We got anhydrous shock. I think we're going to see more guys switching back. Just recently, the bean equation has showed beans to be the more favorable plant. So corn certainly is going to have to do something to be able to come along.
Let's go ahead and then look at some particulars in a little bit more of a short term and ask you what you think the upside targets for March corn are, 420s, 430s?
Well, we've got some strong resistance at 420, but I expect that we're probably going to head for the 443 highs on corn if nothing changes, if the American dollar stays where it's at. We've got strong support at $4. You know, we're seeing all the indicators, strong deliveries, everything being stopped. You know, demand just isn't quitting.
And over in the beans, it looks like that soy meal has been stellar lately.
Well, soy meal demand is tremendous. And I think that the fact that we've got strong export demand for meal as well as domestic usage is certainly helping it. I expect that when we look at meal, I've been telling my clients who are end users that we'll probably see the 350s, if not higher on meal, at some time during this next year.
New crop futures in wheat making new contract highs at all three exchanges. What do you make of that?
Weather, weather, weather. I mean, I think that when you look at it's going to take tremendous changes in the Australia situation. The plains are getting some weather, but not nearly enough. My guys in the plains are telling me that they're terrified as to whether they're going to have a crop for this next year. So I think we're going to challenge in Chicago that 966 high that we've seen before.
Outside markets, we had a jobs report this morning, 94,000 new jobs in November, above estimates by the trade of 90,000. What will the Fed think about that next week?
Well, I wouldn't want Bernanke's job, to be absolutely honest with you. I think it's probably one of the toughest jobs there is in the U.S. right now. He's torn between the subprime situation and an economy that still appears to be very good. And it may put them in a position of not changing anything when it comes to the interest rates.
We also had an ending stocks estimate report to digest yesterday. What numbers caught your eye on that?
Well, the corn number didn't change very much. When it comes to the soybean number, we saw some decline in that, and I'm not really too surprised. It's not a tremendous change. The one is the wheat number is down. I think the wheat number could challenge the lowest guess, which is 262 million. And if that's the case, we'll see even higher numbers on wheat.
And it looks like we could be sub 200 million bushels in the soybeans?
Yes, and of course, when you look at the bean situation, I anticipate we're going to continue to see bean oil demand probably grow on almost every one of the coming U.S. supply and demand reports just because of the biodiesel growth in the country and the fact that biodiesel is such a good exportable market.
So let's go ahead and get your calls for this morning in the grains.
Well, on corn, we're just going to call it up 1 to 2 based on what the overnights are. Beans, 7 to 9 higher. I think that mostly because oil was strong overnight, but we're going to continue to be sensitive to what crude does. Wheat, 5 to 8 higher, again on weather. And when we look at the cattle, we're going to see some continuing buying and some short covering, I believe, especially on this winter weather thing. But we could see some squaring ahead of the weekend bring a little bit of pressure in. Hogs mixed, mostly liquidation ahead of December expiration. But if grains go higher, we'll see hogs stay firm.
What is your best hedging advice for producers, given everything you know right now?
Well, I think that you have to look at the fact that you've got some tremendous offers for corn right out of the field coming this next year, and for nearby corn. I would have to say that you've got to evaluate where you can put your cash to use, and you can always re-own it on the markets.
Do you want to be hedged for next year at some point in the corn market?
Well, I think that how can you not look at hedging if we start to get to that 450 level? On corn. I just think it makes common sense and good business sense. So how you hedge those is important, and I think that using puts is going to be your best way. Leaves your top side open, gives you some downside protection.
Have you been looking at some vertical call strategies as well?
Absolutely. Been doing vertical call strategies for reownership on anything that was advanced sold, and even in a more advanced situation, selling some puts underneath the market to help reduce the cost.
Thank you much, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. She joins us every Friday morning on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're live on the web at WILLAG.org.